Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. Our boy Rajah. So he was supposed to be back today, had a little technical difficulties, or the alarm didn't go off. We're going to get to the bottom of that. We'll find out with him when he gets back on the show. Nonetheless, the show goes on, and we're going old school style today with Hannah and Debo sitting in with me in the studio. Like, we've been doing some things differently, and you guys are here in person. It feels much better, so I'm glad you guys are here.
How's the podcast going to be different next week?
Oh, 5 days a week next week. Good reminder in here, Debo. 5 days a week next week, and then another announcement soon to follow after that one, where maybe you'll actually be able to see us when we're on air. So big
Lots
stuff
of
in
good
the works.
Things coming.
Yeah. People have been tweeting at us for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Wish you guys were 5 days a week. Your wish.
There it is. It's coming
wish
true.
Is our
Hopefully this room is big enough, because I do feel like I have some serious coffee breath kicking in this small. So you guys just stay away from
good.
Me
you're
over
good.
There. All right, I'll try to bury it in the microphone. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. We're going to do a little soccer recap. We'll do our usual topics, a little move the needle as the PGA Tour is going through some changes. Also some proposed changes to the NBA, which I really like. But let's start it off with a little bit of NBA. I know the World Cup is getting to the point of the World Cup atmosphere where it's coming down to the wire. But let's start with a little bit of NBA as LeBron James, it's a done deal to LA. We've talked a lot about that for him going to the Lakers. But the Sixers, who were in the running for sure, came out with a statement from their managing partner, Josh Harris, and he actually says, you know what, it was closer than a lot of people think. His quote, I think they considered us very strongly. I think I would be speculating on how he makes his decisions, and I don't want to do that, but I think that they were really serious about Philadelphia. The fact that they took the meeting with us was something that they didn't view lightly, so I think they were very serious about it. I equate this to The Bachelor and Bachelorette. So Hannah, I know you can relate to this.
Oh, wow.
So like, you know, the girls or the guys, whoever like gets down to that final three and they're the ones that are left out and their hearts get broken. I guarantee you they feel in their mind they had a legit chance to actually end up as the final one. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Sixers feel this way. But it seems like LeBron had this calculated for the last 2 years, and it was just a formality.
LeBron takes the Sixers to the fantasy suite and then doesn't give them a rose.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I don't think that the 76ers were really out of the question for a long time. Like, I think they were in the running.
Yeah.
But I just think at this point it's so stupid to bring up, like why now? Why is Josh Harris bringing this up now?
Yeah, he
That's
probably wants to
get.
Feel like, hey, we gave it our try. We
and
gave it our best
to
try.
Show maybe other free agents that, hey, the best player in the world considered us. You should too.
Right.
Hint, Kawhi Leonard.
right. He was willing to take us. So, yeah, I think it was I think there's a lot of PR behind this statement. Like, hey, he did take us seriously. People need to take us seriously. It's a message to everybody else. And I think he's right.
But LeBron wasn't in the meeting. That's, I think, an important note. As a Sixers fan, I got excited when I heard about the meeting, but then when it was only with Rich Paul.
Oh,
you're like,
see,
okay.
That is left out from this statement from Josh Harris. Yeah. That is a huge factor in this one. Like, did he Skype in? Does he FaceTime?
He wasn't present at all. Not I think it there. Was just relayed from Rich Paul to LeBron, hey, this is why the Sixers want you there. This was their pitch.
Yeah, so LeBron's it definitely,
like, okay.
Definitely is not that. Not that good. Well, one of the factors in the trade, too, or the why LeBron maybe didn't go there was Markelle Fultz. Brett Brown talked to him and said, I had a gut feel that he feels good about himself and he is confident, Brown said. He looks good, he feels confident. Then I started seeing the progression of his shot and I start listening to him tell me about his shot. It confirms that he's feeling good. I'm not believing any of the hype. I get it. He's dunking on social media. He's putting those up. I still need to see the jumper look clean in a game. Like, I'm not buying into the Markelle Fultz love right now.
They're keeping it from us. They're secretly
right. Of course they are.
Have you heard about this guy, Drew Hanlon, notorious NBA trainer, training with some of the top guys? And he's posting all these things. Show us your shot, Mark.
Right, he's showing the dunks, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. We a lot of guys can dunk.
It's a big buildup. And yesterday they released a teaser where a guy walks in front of the camera right as Markelle releases his shot. Very, very planned, very staged.
Geez. Well, they
but there is
be,
excitement there.
There, of course, there's going to be excitement because you want to see what he's capable of doing when he's healthy. I think we all hope that he gets healthy soon. But I'm not buying in until I see him get over that mental hurdle that he had before. All right, let's move on to some World Cup. It's a little bit shocking that we have this at the second topic in our show because it is the biggest event that they have in the sport. But France advanced yesterday to the World Cup final with a 1-0 victory over Belgium. I actually lost real money on this game. I like taking the underdog. I felt like there was some value on Belgium. They had that great comeback against Japan. It was an entertaining first half, even though it was 0-0. Like, there were some great shots on goal, some great saves.
I have a betting question for you. When you're betting, are you betting in 90 minutes or just to advance? Because that adds a wrinkle that we don't see in other sports.
I honestly don't even know. I took
that's
the bet because I still don't understand the numeric system. Like, why they use decimals as opposed to, you know, 60-1, 30-1.
I can't help you there.
I can't help you either. So all I know is that I took Belgium and it was a +240 pick. And I don't know. And I thought it was to win the game.
So that was probably to win just in 90 minutes.
Really?
I believe.
So I would have been.
I think they were about.
So now I'm glad they lost because I would have been so ticked if they would have, like.
They were about +160 to just advance.
Yeah. So I would have been really mad if I just, on a technicality, didn't get it. So France has moved on through Argentina, Uruguay, and Belgium. Now in the group stages, they move on. It should be fun. Sunday's coming up. The final, which 2 o'clock Sunday. I haven't decided if I'll watch it. Like, it depends on what's going on.
Will you
really?
Watch yeah. on Saturday?
I know so many people who are having watch parties for this on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it's a thing. You got to watch it.
I'll watch it if nothing's going on. Like, I will. Like, that's kind of been
my World
Cup viewing.
We're talking about it on Monday's pod, so
yeah,
you better
we'll
watch.
Yeah, we'll recap it. I'll tune in. I'll get some highlights. It is, like, but it doesn't have the Super Bowl or a college football. Like, I'm not going to reschedule anything, but, like, right now my schedule looks pretty light, so I'll probably tune in and see what's going on.
And it's a good excuse to, like, kind of stay inside and chill on a Sunday afternoon, honestly.
Yeah, that is true.
I live next to a bar, and it is so loud every time I'm like, oh, there's a game going on that I should be watching.
You know what I'm really mad about, though?
Reminder.
And this is very serious. Like, I lost money, so I'm mad on that one, but it has absolutely crushed me in our picks on our picks and props like segment. It is. I am getting crushed in that one.
I mean, you want to talk about
fair.
Getting crushed?
Yeah, it's not fair because Raja hasn't picked any. So like he's just sitting there like holding pattern with his 12-5 record, and I'm getting crushed.
You did pick Belgium over Brazil a little bit later.
Yeah.
We'll pick the England Croatia semifinal today.
Yep, exactly. So that one's coming up. And I actually here's what I've been doing. I watch way more of the World Cup when they've been on midweek, like Monday through Friday, just because they're on while I'm doing other stuff while I'm working. So I've kind of had it on as background filler. So I have been into it. Debo called me out for my Twitter criticism of the sport, so that's definitely real. It is definitely there, but you challenged me.
Yep.
Yeah, 4 more days. You challenged me to come up with 5 nice things to say about soccer because I have enjoyed it. Like, I have enjoyed it. So,
you need, like, cheery music.
Are you ready? Here's my papers unfolding.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Heavy research in this one. All right, and this is serious. This is very serious.
How many of these are backhanded, Hannah?
No. They won't be, I promise.
Did you Google good things about
soccer? No. This is genuine from the heart. This is me from the heart. All right, number 5. There has actually been, in the last couple games, less flopping. And I like the... No, this is like a good thing. This is good. This is positive.
Laughing.
Don't be a typical soccer fan and get mad at me. There's less flopping because the video replay, the fact they're going back and looking, I think that's a good thing. Also, I think Neymar, it came back to bite him because in the last game where they lost, there was a couple chances he had in the, around the goal, like around the goal area where you would have gotten a penalty kick.
In the box.
In the box. Duh. It shows you how much soccer I know. But he didn't get the call and they didn't even look at video. And I think it's because he was such a flopper. Like, it was like the little boy who cried wolf. Like, you do it so many times, they're going to be like, forget you. We're not even going to look at it. So that's mine. Less flopping. I like that.
Cool.
Number 4, I like the fact that they're usually 90 minutes. Like, it's you get a window that you're going to be in there.
You're in,
you're out. It's like college football. I love it, but 4-hour games, I can't take it. Even in the overtime games, like, they're not that bad. You get 15 and 15. It's still, you know exactly what you're going to get. So that's my 4th. Number 3, stoppage time. I used to hate it because there's absolutely no... It's like there's no science to it. It's not exact. It's just a total guess. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of into it. Like, I think they should do a thing on a gambling site, like where you could bet what the stoppage time is going to actually be, like an over under on that.
Ooh,
like a prop. Right. It might actually be out there. But I've actually been trying to guess, like, as the game comes down, I'm like, oh, how much stoppage time are they going to have? All right, number 2.
That was
3. That was 3. The over.
You're going
stoppage
in reverse
time.
Order.
Yeah. I'm going 5-4-3-2-1. Wow. Yeah. Number 2. Penalty kicks. I think it's a bad way to determine the outcome, but I love it from a viewer standpoint. From a sheer drama of the situation, I think it's one of the best, most stressful moments in sports. And so that's good. Like, I love, and that is the other thing. I actually root for ties as much as I hate them. I root for them now so that I can get penalty kicks.
But it's still something that you could walk onto a field and do yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I could totally do it myself.
What's number one going to be?
All right, number one.
The pressure.
The great hair. There really has. There has been, like, you get, like, these dudes put some serious time into the looks. Like, they've got the fades going. You've
most
got
of them
the
are
dude
very
for
good
Belgium.
Looking.
I don't know who he is with the Sideshow Bob hair, like, great fro working. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got the mohawk from Mbappe, right? He's the mohawk dude. Like, there's a lot of different styles out there with the hair.
Agree.
So, number one for me, soccer, is the great hair.
These Russian barbers deserve a raise.
Yes, they do.
They're trendsetters, too. I mean, that's where the man bun originated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate
for sure.
it.
Yeah, no doubt. It. They're trendsetters.
No, soccer.
If you want the latest, if you want to, like, GQ will come out with, like, hey, this is the summer style for haircuts, they're coming from soccer. Like, there's no doubt about it. That's where they're coming from. So those are my top five good things, nice things to say about soccer, which I'm pretty impressed with.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to some read and react, where Hannah's going to give us a headline from CBS Sports, and we'll react to it.
Okay, first one. Indians lose after closer meltdown, nickname mix-up. So did you see any of this?
I did. So Debo was filling me in on it before. So the Indians are playing the Reds, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Francona wants to make a change. He wanted to get Oliver Perez in there to face lefty Joey Votto. Like, that makes sense,
lefty,
right?
Lefty Oliver Perez, yeah. Lefty Joey Votto.
Right. So he calls the pitching coach, Carl Willis, and he calls from, like, the bullpen phone, like, which has forever
old
been
school.
In baseball. Yeah, old school. It's like the phone that you would think is in the White House with the red, like, you call for the nukes. They still have it there. So he calls out, and Francona said, I would like OT and Otero, Dan Otero, and not OP for Oliver Perez. Well, he thought there was a mix-up in the OT, OP nicknames. Like, mm-hmm. I can relate to that because most people call me DK. Like, that's my, like, it's a lot, like, that was my kind of nickname. But the mix-up actually cost them because instead of getting the lefty-lefty matchup, they went with Otero. And then Votto comes in and hits a three-run double and they lose the game. Like, it's, how does this happen? Like, in an era where we have technology, we've got better at, like, I'm surprised. But I mean, it is.
It's the old school way of doing things, and I feel like with the MLB, I was just talking about this about the All-Star game because Justin Verlander was commenting on how the problem is that they do it with these paper ballots
that they have to mail in like a month ahead of time.
Right? He's like, let's just do it a couple weeks ahead. That was
so. What would be the best way to call for reliever in baseball? A text. Because it could. Because if you called them on your cell phone, you could still have the miscommunication.
I feel like you just need another phrase. Just change it.
There should be a touch tablet in the dugout where you could touch the number and it just gets sent to the bullpen.
Everyone's dirty. The tablet would get ruined.
It's only one guy's hand. It's only the manager.
All right. So apparently, but I guarantee you there will be a change to the philosophy and the style and the way that the Indians get to their reliever. All right, next up.
Adam Silver says NBA is ready to change the one and done rule.
Good. Finally, they've hinted at this for a couple years now, but we've seen a movement from all, like, college basketball analysts, college basketball players, from NBA analysts, from NBA planners. You knew this was only a matter of time. Hopefully it becomes sooner rather than later, because, and I think they're going to lower the age, correct? Like, it'll be 18 now, so you can come directly out of high school.
Right.
Which, again, hopefully this takes some of the pressure off of college basketball and the heat they've been taking to pay the players, because I don't feel like that's the best answer. Mm-hmm. But if there's a guy who's good enough to go pro, let him go.
And the plan would to be have a much better relationship with these guys when they're in high school. Before, it wouldn't be any communication between NBA teams when LeBron James or Dwight Howard or Tracy McGrady was in high school. Now they're going to have programs that start that kind of educate you on NBA lifestyle. The G League is much better than it was in 2006,
right?
Than when this rule went away. So I think all around, they're going to be in a better situation to enter the league.
It's better, hopefully, and I don't know exactly the specifics of what this will look like, but I'm telling you, baseball has the right model where you can come out of high school. If you don't get drafted, you can go back to college. You can try it. You can come get drafted again. If you don't like where you're drafted, you can go back to college. Like, let the guys have more options than just, oh, once you declare you're drafted, you're done. Maybe they find out it's not best for them, or they don't get the money they want, so let them go to college too. We'll have to see how the details of the NBA changes those rules. But it's a good thing overall.
Some more changes, this time in the PGA Tour. This headline says, big time changes in PGA Tour schedule. So the PGA Championship moves from August to May, and the Players' Championship moves from May to March.
Basically, I think what they're trying to do is shorten the season, because it does feel like golf is a year-round sport, which is great for us if you like to watch golf, but it's not so good for the players, and they would like a little bit more of an off-season. So I think it's a good thing overall. It'll be weird, because I do traditionally, I have always liked the PGA Championship being in August. It's kind of the last thing that kind of closes out the tour. Now they'll put a little bit more emphasis on the FedEx Cup. That'll be kind of the finality of the season, and it definitely will be if they move the PGA Championship earlier on that one. So I don't know if it moves the needle a ton. We're doing that next in a little bit, but I think it's good. I think the PGA players will be happy with that one. Yeah, for sure. All right, you guys like to brush your teeth, right? I was talking about bad breath. Well, you know how you avoid that? You brush your teeth better, and you know how you can do that? With Quip. So the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and we forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes them different? Well, for one thing, they've got a built-in timer that helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes. With guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. That's awesome, because you don't have to think about it. Just go until it stops. It gives you a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. I don't like it when my toothbrush is flopping around the countertop and gets dirty. So, yeah, you've got the suction cup right there. That's perfect for that. But Quip is basically, it's the best product out there. It's awesome. It's on Oprah's O-list. It doesn't get any better than that. How do you get it? Well, it starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/bench right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/bench, spelled GETQUIP.com/bench. All right.
Don't die.
I know, right? I need some some mouthwash to get this little frog in my throat out. All right, what do we got for Move the Needle?
Move the Needle. Okay, first one up. It says, any summer league evaluation / impressions. Now, DeAndre Ayton, Trey Young, Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley's injured. Like, what? Which part of this impressed you the most?
It moves the needle so little for me. There is nothing on. I watched the first half of the Knicks-Lakers game. Was it Knicks? Who were the Knicks playing? I don't know who they were playing. It shows you how much I was dialed in. But I was curious to see how Kevin Knox did. Like, they teased him off the top. He had a monster game, 29 points, 9 rebounds. But it's basically it's the same as preseason football. It's an exhibition. Yeah, it's exciting to see these guys for a photo op in their new NBA uniforms. But you can look historically over guys who have torn up the summer league and they've been busts. And you look at guys who have played awful and they've, you know, exceeded the expectations that they had for guys in the NBA. So I don't look at it and see anything other than, hey, it's a good opportunity to see
good
these guys.
Good or bad, you don't get high or low. Like Trey Young starts 13 for 52
but then he bounces
from the field.
Back. And people are like, oh, and then, but I guess it's because there's nothing else to talk about this time of year. People are like, oh, Trey Young's going to really struggle. Then he comes back with an impressive performance last night, 7 of 13 for 24 points. So I think way much is overanalyzed with the summer league. So for me, it doesn't move the needle very much at all.
I agree with that. Okay, another one. Serena's Wimbledon run. Now, I hope you have an opposite reaction to this one.
All right, so it moves the needle a little bit.
What?
Not a ton. Here's the thing. Like, for her to go out there, I think I have a hot take for Serena. Okay?
I'm nervous.
Get ready.
All right, you ready?
Honestly. You should be.
I think she blows the first set on purpose. Like, almost like spotting. If you're playing one-on-one basketball, you spot them 5 baskets because you know you're going to win. Because she knows it plays better. Like, it's more exciting to watch if she's down and could potentially get beat. And here's the crazy thing. She's good enough to actually pull it off all the time and just come back and demolish girls. Like, I watched the match yesterday between her and Georgie. And Georgie was strong opponent, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, she was strong.
Right. Serena rallied, though.
Yeah. Like, she got 6-3 at first set. And then Serena just blew. I think it was. I think she just knows it's going to play better.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people could try to rally on purpose, but sometimes they fail. Like, I don't think that anybody would purposely try not to do well in the beginning. They may
I think they need it.
Is it like that warrior switch? They know they can just hang around for the first half, third quarter.
They're kind of bored. Yeah, they're bored. And tennis players will across the board, like they're known to, if they're going to lose a set, they start getting down. They're like, why waste energy? Let's just blow the set off and come back the next one. I think she does that a lot. Do you guys remember my hot take from way back, like right after she had her
baby?
There's
so many I can't even.
I still don't think she wins another major after the baby, but I'm really nervous
totally
on that one.
I totally disagree.
Yeah, you're probably
I feel
right.
like she's kind of picked up where she left off. She did say, and I quote, she said, I feel like I'm back. This is only my fourth tournament back, so I don't feel the pressure. I don't feel like I have to win this, but as I know that I have a long way to go.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, I would not bet. That was just a sheer hot take.
Would you still? Yes. She's one of the final four at Wimbledon.
I would back off of that one rather quickly, but we'll have to see it. Health-wise, there's questions. She had the pectoral injury where she backed out of the match against Sharapova at the French Open, so we'll have to see if she can finish this one. But I would not bet money on that. I would say she's probably the favorite.
Okay, another one that I'm wondering if you would bet anything on. A potential Federer versus Nadal Wimbledon final.
Love it.
Move the needle for you.
Moves
Both
the
are playing
needle.
In the quarterfinals today.
Moves the needle for me. So we always have the MJ versus LeBron debate, greatest of all time. What if you could see that in a one-on-one situation? Mm-hmm. That's essentially what you're getting with a Federer versus Rafa matchup. I would love to see this happen. I think it'd be great for tennis. Although you talk about, like, are you into the World Cup? I put Wimbledon on in the morning, too, because it's on TV, so I'll watch it. I cannot tell you three or four names across tennis, but I can tell you those two dudes. And I can tell you that they're the greatest of their sport, so let's see it happen. Although I would take Federer in a bet any day of the week.
Crazy that they haven't met in the Wimbledon final since 2008. They met three straight years from 06 to 08, but not since then.
It is crazy that they haven't been there.
Yeah, so there's a potential for a showdown between Nadal and Djokovic in the semifinal, and then either of them can potentially play Federer.
I'm rooting for it.
All right, last move the needle for you. Transfer fees in soccer. So Real Madrid gets 117 million transfer fees from Juventus for Cristiano Ronaldo's services.
I mean, it was kind of like an eye opener. Like, you see that, you're like, whoa, there's a lot of money when you see the star power. Anytime those top 100 paid athletes in the world comes out, like, you always expect LeBron to be near the top, and they don't even come close to Ronaldo and Messi. You start seeing the value that they bring to a club when you see 123 million paid. No players in that trade. Like, it's just a straight out acquirement. That is insane type of money. But the thing that's crazy about it, Juventus will probably get it back in returns and profits. Like, they'll get it back from him playing in their club.
Oh, absolutely. And you imagine just guys like in the NBA when they trade cash considerations. That's
right.
$1 million, $2
million. Right.
Maximum a team can trade in cash in a year or acquire is $5 million.
Right.
117 here.
That's insane. And Ronaldo's going to get $284 million. I don't know what bothers me more.
As a 33-year-old.
I don't know what bothers me more. That or that I saw Kylie Jenner on the cover of Forbes magazine is worth $900 million. That one, because at least Ronaldo has a talent. Supposedly her cosmetics line is up there where it's like she's going to be a billionaire before long.
No comment.
And she's only 21.
I think she's a genius. No comment.
Yeah, she must be. All right. What do we got for picks and props? I am dropping like a rock in these standings.
You picked Belgium yesterday. I had France. David Sampson gave us a little French French lesson. I can't repeat that today. I can speak English, though. England minus 155 versus Croatia plus 125. This is a 2 o'clock match for the right to take on France in Sunday's World Cup final.
I'm going to go. So I love taking the underdogs. But the thing is, we don't really have a way to make up for that. Like, it's just straight winners in these. So I'm going to take the favorite and go with England to beat Croatia. But I'll probably be rooting for Croatia just to see the underdog.
Hannah, you haven't joined us for picks in a while. And there might be a reason
for
that.
Reason.
who do you have today, England or Croatia?
England. I'm going England. I decided that yesterday in 3 seconds without any thought, and I'm sticking to it.
Harry Kane.
There you go. I'm going to roll with Luka Modric and Croatia. But I'm real excited about this prop. So Justin Timberlake has this concert in the famous O2 Arena in London today.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, England in the biggest match they've had in decades. They haven't been to a World Cup final since 1966. So before the concert, Timberlake is going to play England versus Croatia on the big screen at O2. My prop here, more Justin Timberlake songs that you can name or soccer players in the world that you can name.
Before the World Cup or after? Because it's very
important. Right now,
important.
Right this
second.
This
is the easiest thing in the world.
No, see, it used to be coming into the World Cup, I could only name three. And that was Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar. Now I just gave you Harry Kane. I gave you Mbappe a few minutes ago.
You kept asking me about Rooney before the World Cup.
Yeah, but he's not in there.
Right.
Like, but I think this is coming a long way for me. Belgium, or who had KDB? There's a dude there.
De Bruyne.
See, that's another one. So that's five. So Justin Timberlake songs. You got Cry Me a River, Suit and Tie, Sexy Back, Say Something's off the new one.
Oh my God, there's literally so many Justin Timberlake songs that I can name in 4 seconds, and this is so painful to watch. Right. Like, I'm having the hardest time.
Why?
I'm having the hardest time.
Oh, what, because you can't think of them?
No.
Rattle them for us.
Yeah.
I want to be impressed by you.
I think it's really a closer, I think it's a close number for me.
Really?
What else you got?
I mean, like, I could go through each album. I mean, like, I love Justin Timberlake
so
much.
I am not a real, like, when I listen to songs, I don't always pay attention to the name of the song. I'll just listen to the song, and I can sing some of the lyrics, but I don't know the exact name of the song. I think it's a lot closer than people think, though. Like the prop there.
I don't know. I thought that was a wild prop bet. Like that was an aggressive one to pick.
It was geared more towards
five. I'm around five.
If it was geared towards you, Hannah, it would be adjusted. It would be Justin Timberlake minus 45.
Who else would you put in there besides Justin Timberlake?
All right, so let's move it on a little more NBA offseason discussion, as the Rockets reportedly going after Carmelo Anthony. Weren't they meeting out the summer league? Was there? Yeah, out in Vegas, they were meeting with him.
Carmelo has received permission to meet with both the Heat and the Rockets. Still hasn't been bought out officially from the Thunder, but that's inevitable.
It's a done deal. It's going to happen. I think it's an awful move for the Rockets. I think it's a good move for the Heat. And I'm a Heat fan, and I'm not.
I really hope it doesn't go. There's no way I want this to work out with the Heat. I think that's
why.
I think it's terrible.
I think the Heat have not a whole lot of reasons to watch them. At least, like, you get a player with some cachet who can make some offense. Yeah, exactly. You got him and D Wade going out there. I think it'd be good. Like, I'm speaking from a sheer viewing standpoint. I don't think it changes their status in the East. I think at this point in his career, like, if he's going to go to Houston, is he coming off the bench?
He doesn't want to come off the
bench. Exactly. See, that's one problem. Is he going to play defense?
But
he's never played defense.
Mba Mute and Trevor Ariza. So maybe there's an issue and Capella hasn't been signed yet.
Right. Yeah. I still think Houston's biggest problem is defense, even though they got better. But Harden's not known for his defense. I think this team would get marginally better offensively, and they'd get significantly worse defensively. So I think it doesn't make any sense for the Rockets to do it. Although I wouldn't be surprised if it happens.
And one of the most puzzling signings of the offseason, Michael Carter-Williams, who remember as the rookie of the year a couple years ago, one of the worst shooters in NBA history. How does that fit in with the Rockets? Their pace and space and their 3 and D.
Right, that's
and
all
he
they
can't
do
any of it. He could play a little bit of defense.
Right.
He can't shoot. And that's a team that missed 27 straight three-pointers in the Western Conference Final Game 7. You need to add shooting, not subtract it.
Right, exactly. So there's some movement here when you look at. I think that makes it even more important they get Clint Capella back. He was sort of the big three of their big three with Chris Paul, Harden, and Capella coming back, which there have been some reports out that he wants 100 and they're at 60 where they're offering him. That's a pretty big gap where if you're Clint Capella. And I think you're in a better situation looking at the roster as it's taking shape now to go after the 100 and say, all right, you guys really want me. You're going to have to give me that 100 right there. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Do you think Houston feels and Daryl Morey, the GM, and Mike D'Antoni, the coach, feel like they can kind of bring in anybody at this point and integrate them into their culture? Do you think they're at that level yet, kind of like a Golden State Warriors and some other teams we see across sports, where no matter what type of player you can bring in, whether it be Carmelo and wanting to start, that they can make that work?
I bet they have that philosophy, and I think one of the reasons they have it is because of Chris Paul and the value that he brings. As a veteran that people respect, a guy that knows the system, knows what they're trying to accomplish, can spread D'Antoni's message throughout the locker room without the coach actually being there. I think that's a huge advantage for them to have that. They probably do take that philosophy on that one. So what do we have? So the last of the Hall of Famers spending their career with one team. So we saw Tony Parker switch teams from the Spurs. He agrees to a deal with the Hornets. It is kind of a bummer for me to see, growing up in an era, this is before you guys, when you actually saw guys get drafted by a team, have long, lengthy careers with one team, and finish it out and retire as a Laker, as a Dolphin, as a whatever team you rooted for, they would actually stay there. But with free agency, the type of money that's out there, there is so much like enticing options other than staying in your team that you're seeing it more and more. So your question that you posed, Debo, is have we seen the last of Hall of Famers spending their entire career with one team? I think you'll see some guys still. Like, we have Dirk Nowitzki. He's just going to do it with Dallas. He's going to finish his career there.
Guaranteed.
Russell Westbrook, you brought up with the Thunder. I would not say guaranteed, just because you never know. He's still young.
He's 10 years in, though.
Yeah, but how old is he?
30.
Yeah, that I could see it, but it wouldn't surprise you if he went somewhere else at the end. Now, he's a guy who I actually like, who his approach has been like by staying in OKC at this point in his career, but I could see him later in his career moving on to another spot. You got LeBron James already on his third team. D. Wade's played on three. Chris Paul on three. Kevin Durant's on his second. I think he's not even done yet. I think he goes to a third spot when he's out of there. Steph Curry is an interesting one because he's been drafted by the Warriors. He was one of their, you know, he's what they've built this dynasty around. But he's hinted at wanting to go back to his hometown of Charlotte and finishing his career back there. So I do think you'll see a couple guys but it'll be the rarity. It'll be the rare player that actually starts and finishes his career on the same team.
Manu's another one that we got accustomed to seeing in a Spurs uniform. And he actually is going to retire a Spur. It's just going to be weird to see in Tony Parker and whatever Charlotte's colors are.
Right. I want to get to this socially relevant piece we had. We don't have the video, obviously, if we're just doing the podcast only today. But Gordon Hayward, great dude, friend of the show, Raja's boy, has two girls. Mm-hmm. Did you see this video, Hannah?
I did not see this video. I heard people talking about it, though.
So
the
big thing now, and this is really taking, like, it's always been a thing, but it feels to me like getting it on Instagram is the gender reveal parties. They've been some funny ones, like where you have a guy hit a golf ball and the golf ball explodes.
Right.
They've got the softball player, a baseball where you hit something. So I thought that was a little weak as far as the reveal goes because it was just balloons in a box. Like, you could have done a little bit more creatively than that.
But they're supposed to fly out.
So, yeah, but they didn't exactly. It was just like a moving box.
They had the box.
Hayward finds out he has two girls already, and the pink balloons come out, and he could not look more disappointed. Like, he doesn't even fake it. Like, you got to fake it somewhat. You got to act
like
he's not
pissed. Is daddy happy? And he said,
daddy's always happy, right? That was his comment.
Yeah, but I get it. I feel like any guy would be in that situation.
What if the third daughter, when she's 13, she gets a hold of this video and she's like, this is daddy's reaction to me? Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. First of all, he wasn't rude. Like, I've seen some videos where dads literally will start crying.
The one guy jumped in the pool.
They'll walk away. Yes. Like, he handles himself like a gent. He's fine.
You got to fake it. You got to put on the game face and just fake it.
How is he supposed
to celebrate? I didn't find out. No gender reveal for any of our girls.
Yeah, you can talk to this one.
Three girls. So first one, it was a little bit of a complicated birth process. My wife had to have an emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. So everything went fine. Everything was good.
Right.
So the next two, we have C-sections, which you can plan, which is actually really nice. Like, if you're a woman listening, like, go for the C-section. It's like, you can schedule it. It's a lot easier. You get you don't feel as much. Mm-hmm. And make it sound like it's a cakewalk. So the second one, another girl, like, all right, this second one, yay. Third one, I started rooting for the boy. I'm like, come on, we can do the boy. My wife and I had talked about it. We're like, yeah, maybe this is the boy. And when you actually find out, like, you find out right there when you see the baby come out. And I was like, you have to fake it. I put on the happy camper. Like, let's go. This is awesome. Ultimately, it does come down to the health of the baby for me. If you have a healthy baby, like, you should be happy.
Absolutely.
You should be thanking, be very thankful for that. But I can definitely feel Gordon Hayward's disappointment there a little bit. But I love my three girls. Like, they're awesome. Yeah. I love having girls. They're the best. Maybe we'll try
then
for
a fourth. Then you got to try for one more. That's the problem. You're like, give me a boy.
I don't know if I'll be able
what
to put on the happy.
What do you get the fourth daughter?
I'll shut it down. Like, there will be no more attempts. And I'll have to put on the happy face again if it's another girl. But we'll see. I don't know.
Let's get a gender reveal party for that one.
Breaking news.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to see if it can take place. All right, let's finish off some topics. What do you got?
So Drake claims that all of his exes live in Texas, but he's known to fib about the whereabouts of those close to him. Yesterday, the Toronto Raptors team mascot was at Wimbledon watching ex Serena Williams. Williams, now married with a child. All I'm saying is if my ex showed up to watch me read topics, I wouldn't be too happy.
So when you look at this, I think this is actually a sign that they had a pretty good relationship. Like, if you're going to show up and do that, if I'm her husband
right
now.
See his facial reactions?
Oh, what?
He was up and down. He was down.
That's good. That means they probably, like, had a friendly relationship. They kept. If I'm her husband, I don't know how much I love that.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I love Drake still coming around.
But we don't know if she totally knew or if he just showed up, which would be a little.
She definitely knew.
You think so?
You think so?
Yeah, they run in those big circles. I'm sure I wonder if they still text.
Nah.
No. And again, if I'm the husband, I ain't too thrilled with that.
I listened to all Drake's album. I didn't hear one mention of Serena, even without
because she doesn't
her
really
name.
Do anything for like his status, like is a cool, like it doesn't make him any cooler.
Kidding? I mean, he mentioned dating Bella Hadid on his album.
Again,
she doesn't
makes
do
him
anything.
Look cooler.
No, what?
Oh, I think so because she's
Hadid's
smoking
like embarrassing.
Hot.
No, it's cooler to date Serena than it is to date Bella Hadid.
Drake's
I don't know,
album
does that bring him street cred dating Serena? I don't think so.
No, it brings him just like juice.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Drake's album, In My Feelings, one of the songs on there. Mm-hmm. It's a new challenge going around. Russell Wilson did that challenge very poorly. His wife,
so
Sierra.
Bad.
She looked great.
Killed it.
Sierra
they
looked awesome.
They did it over this cliff on their honeymoon in Cape Town, South Africa. Russell Wilson, such an awkward person.
He's
if
a
you
dork.
Guys ever want to feel really, really bad about yourselves, just only watch Ciara in that video. I mean, yeah. She completely kills it. But if you want to feel like
she is polar opposite,
she's unreal. But if you want to feel really good about yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm the best person, I'm the best dancer ever in the world, watch Russell Wilson in the background because that's exactly what you will think. This man's got no rhythm.
You just don't even try. Like if you're him, just sit in the background because I get he wants to be in there. Like he's with his lady, she's doing this dance. She looked incredible. Just sit
it's
there
like
and watch.
Guy.
Don't, yeah, but like, don't
but
even
he was
try.
Like sitting down at one point.
Just do like what you do at the club. Like, sit in the VIP couch up on the top and just sit there. Don't do anything because he's a dork. He looks like a dork.
Yeah, he looked like a total dork. Don't it wasn't good.
Do anything. The Warriors have the Splash Brothers. Now, potentially, they have the Splash Brother in law. Steph Curry's future brother in law, Damian Lee, inked a 2-way contract with the Warriors last night. Brother Seth on a 2-year deal with Portland. Just saying, what's the dynamic going to be there?
Things better be good on the home front, right? But his brother-in-law is not going to make the team, is he?
I think he'll be on the 15-man roster.
Really?
Yeah. If not, he'll be back and forth between the G League affiliate.
That'd be pretty cool, then. If you have a good relationship, like that's awesome to be able to play with your family members.
Yeah, I think
like
it'd be cool.
I had sisters, so never get to experience it. But my dad was a I know, right? But my dad was the doctor for the Dolphins, and I played against the Dolphins, and it was just really cool. We played them when I was rookie year on the Giants. We got some pictures before the game. Like, to be able to, like, kind of go to work with your family, like, that's awesome. Like, that's really cool.
Absolutely. Dante DiVincenzo is one broke buck for now. So with the Vegas slot machines in the background, Summer League teammate DJ Wilson posted a picture of Milwaukee's first-round pick holding up his Wells Fargo app with a grand total of $3.71 in between both his checkings and his savings account.
Right, combined.
Interestingly enough, Wilson was the 17th overall pick last year, the same as Dante was this year, so he could tell him a little bit about the $2.5 million he's going to make once he signs that contract. For now, $3.71.
You know what, though? I've been there.
All of us have. Like, all of us have. There. Like, I remember going and writing checks to get the laundry done when I was at Tallahassee. I'd write a check for like $3.87 for like a load
let's
of
just,
laundry to get
let's
done.
Just react to that statement, Hannah. You'd write a
you guys
check
actually
to do
did your own laundry? Come on.
I didn't write a check.
I always did my own laundry. Always.
No, so, but everybody's been there where you go to the ATM, you get out $20 because that's all you can do. And there is no cooler in feeling in the world to all of a sudden, like, there's instant riches come your way. Like, all of a sudden, he's going to be able to look down at that bank account and see 7 numbers. Like, that's insane and just an insane change of life. I wonder how much he'll have to pay back maybe his agent or whoever he had to borrow some money from, like, to get through this period, like, these couple months, because obviously he was at $3. Yeah. How are you paying your bills?
That's the Final Four's most outstanding player.
Yeah.
$3.71.
I once was denied for a small coffee at Starbucks. It was $2 coffee.
Did the credit card bounce?
Yeah. Overdrafting was like one of my hobbies in college. Syracuse, next to my name. It'd be like, Hannah, she loves long walks on the beach.
Right.
Overdrafting.
Oh, this was before smartphones, like where you couldn't actually check your balance.
I had a flip
like before.
Phone.
Yeah.
Even before, I never looked it. I'd be like, my eyes. I couldn't see it.
Nice. All right. A century after the Gipper, Notre Dame is getting Garth Brooks. I'd make a lyrical reference, but I don't know any Garth Brooks songs. Garth set to perform at the first ever concert at Notre Dame Stadium. Some traditions meant to be broken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with it. I listened to a little bit of Garth in college. It came on the bar. They were good, like, sing-along songs. Speaking of dorks, like, and he's kind of a dork in kind of the own right. And he's kind of...
Like, do you think he'll sell out Notre Dame Stadium?
Oh, yeah. He was huge 10, 15 years ago.
I didn't know why this is... Why is this a big deal?
I don't know. Well, because Notre Dame's never had any, like, outside entertainment other than Notre Dame football. Like,
that's why. Because I saw that this... Everybody was talking about this.
Well, it'll be weird, like, to see Garth Brooks and Touchdown Jesus behind him. Because you can literally... There's a building with the mural up there. Mm-hmm. It'll just be usually all the only thing you're used to seeing is football on that field. So
this is... I just know Penn State recently had their first one at Beaver Stadium. They were so against it for years. They had Blake Shelton.
And it probably sold out, right?
I would rather go see Blake Shelton than I would Garth Brooks.
Just relevance.
Speaking of awkward couples, we were doing that before the show.
Yeah.
I don't know about him and Gwen Stefani. Like, I don't like them together. They're so different. Like, I would have never pegged her with him. Like, he's another nerd. He's an... Yeah. That was good. B-A-N-A-N-A-S?
Yes.
bananas.
Last topic.
keep it moving.
Tony Romo won an amateur golf tournament in Wisconsin by 9 strokes. I was going to ask Raja this, but do we still think Danny could beat Tony Romo? Ooh. Heads up, Hannah.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. He's really good, but I would tell him. Yeah, sure. Right? Why not? I would say to him, why aren't you entering the celebrity tournaments that I've played in and winning those? I don't. That's a genuine question.
You told good prizes there.
Yeah, no, there's good prize money, but a lot of guys like to keep their amateur status so they can potentially play on the PG or in the mid, like the amateur, the USAM. Like they have these great competitions where you can go play. Maybe that's why he does it. But he's never won one of the celebrity tours. Like win one of those and then talk to me about how you're going to qualify for the U.S. Open. That's what I would say to Romo. Like that's my throwdown challenge. Talking smack to Romo.
You could talk probably better smack.
No, he is an outstanding golfer. Like he's really good. I would love to play with him because he's legit. He can absolutely play. Good for him. Congrats. All right, that's a wrap for us. We're going to get, we promise, Raja back Monday. We're going to be on 5 days a week, so you're going to get a whole lot of off the bench. Even though it's probably the slowest week of the whole sports year.
We're going to have so much to talk about.
And we're going to have some fun. Like, we'll go off the rails a little bit. That's coming up next week. Make sure you go check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, download, leave us a 5-star review. When you go on there, ask us a question. Ask us anything you want. We'll get to those in our 5-star reviews. Our 5-star Q&As on Friday. And as always, make sure you go check us out on Instagram and Twitter @KennellandBell.